no matter what your particular calling may be. Seek to be faithful in it and see what the Lord will do with you and how He'll lead and the doors He'll open. After God saved me, I began as a teenager to preach and have been preaching for 54 years now. And what a thrill it's been. Cut my eye teeth preaching on the Apache Indian Reservation in Arizona where I grew up. And have had the privilege of preaching ever since. It's a joy to have this opportunity this morning. So open your Bibles right to the middle, and that should put you somewhere in the Psalms. And turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, a psalm written by a minister of music that was appointed by David, a minister of music named Asaph. And this psalm and nine others are credited to Asaph, this minister of music. He starts out in the opening of Psalm 78, exhorting with regard to these folk teaching their children the law of the Lord. He says in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And then goes on to speak of that generation. And sort of a summation over in verse 40 through 42, as he said, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. This minister of music makes a startling, shocking statement in verse 41, as he says, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now that's shocking. That's amazing. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That's shocking because the Word of God throughout confirms the fact that God is an unlimited God, that God is eager to bless His people and display His unlimited power to them. It's proclaimed throughout the Scripture by prophets like Jeremiah and by the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah says in the 32nd chapter of his book, verse 17, there's nothing too hard for God. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 27, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. God is an unlimited, all-powerful God. And that's displayed in the call of the Scripture to prayer and the demonstration of answered prayer. Jeremiah again in chapter 33, verse 3 says, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the Lord Jesus in that familiar passage in Matthew chapter 7 where he's talking about asking and knocking and receiving says in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? The confirmation throughout the Scripture of an unlimited, all-powerful God. And yet here, this music minister, Asaph, talks about limiting God. Because indeed, the Scripture that confirms the fact of an unlimited God also sets forth conditions whereby we can limit God and His blessings upon our life. The knots that bind God's hand of blessing. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. The knots that bind the hands of God's blessing on our life. First of all, we find the knot of sin. They obeyed not. We find in Psalm 78, they obeyed not. And again in Jeremiah and chapter 5 and verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins have withholden good things from you. The knot of sin, excusing sin, refusing to confess sin in our life, that knot of sin can limit the blessings of God. bind the hand of God's blessing upon our life. I remember reading years ago about a small town college that woke up one morning with no water supply. They called the plumber, figured it was just a common problem. But he examined the system. He couldn't find anything that could be causing that. So they called the town water department. And initially they could find no problem. But as they began to check back on the line, finally a half mile or so away from that little college, they found the problem. There in the smaller line that brought the water supply to the college was a large toad that had become wedged in that water line. The only thing they could surmise was that that toad had somehow gotten into that water line as a tadpole and had fed on the water and had grown and finally came to the point that it was of a size that blocked that water supply, that power of water. You know, young folks, the same thing can happen in our life. Something that seems like just a little sin, but we let it go on and we let it grow. And it can become that which blocks the power of God for our life. And sometimes the tragedy is we don't even realize that the power of God is missing from our life. I think one of the saddest passages in the Word of God is over in Judges 16, as Samson has continued down a road of lust and self-desire to the point that finally he allows Delilah to find out the symbol that was the secret of his power, his unshorn hair. And as she has him sleeping in her lap, she sends and has his hair cut. And she says, as she'd done several times before, "Samson, the Philistines are on thee." And he says, "I'll go out and shake myself and I'll defeat them as I have before." And the scripture says, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. What a tragedy to come to a point in our life where we've allowed something that maybe seems like just a little thing to grow and eventually rob us of the power and the blessing of God and come to the point that we don't even realize it. So the knot of sin and then the knot of unbelief. We're told in this 78th Psalm in verse 22 that they believed not in God. Elsewhere in this psalm it speaks about their lack of belief. You know the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the knot of unbelief, they believed not, and it robbed them of the blessing of God. And so it can in our life. The knot of unbelief. You perhaps heard the story of the rich man that put an ad in the paper that anyone that came to his home on a certain day, he would relieve them of any debts that they had. They could come until noon and have their debts forgiven. And on the appointed day, there was a large crowd gathered outside of his estate, and they're all talking and murmuring and wondering if this could really be so. But they were just standing there questioning, murmuring, speculating. Finally, just before noon, a timid couple with a handful of bills went up and knocked on the door. They were ushered in. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, they came out beaming. They said, "It's true. He's paid all of our debts." And the crowd rushed to the door. But it was too late. It was past the noontime hour. And how often God wants to bless our life. God wants to do great things in our life. But because of the knot of unbelief, believing not, we bind the hands of God's blessing. And then there's the knot of resistance. 78 verse 40. They would not. They would not. And again over in Psalm 81 verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. The knot of resistance. They would not. That word provoke in verse 40. Is interesting. It's the idea of rebelling against. They rebelled against him in the wilderness, provoking him to anger. Over and over again, that knot of resistance realized in Israel's life. And it robbed them of God's blessing. And oh, the knot of resistance, the fact that we would not do that which God would have us to do, can rob us, can bind his hands of blessing for our life. The knot of resistance. What is surrender to the Lord? What is, as we oftentimes call it, consecration? Well, a lady asked her pastor that one time, "Pastor, what does consecration mean?" He slipped a blank piece of 8.5 by 11 paper across the desk to her. He said, "Sign your name at the bottom." That's consecration. That's not resisting God. That's signing the paper and saying, "God, you fill in the details. I trust you. I'm not going to resist your will, your way." But the knot of resistance can bind God's hand of blessing. Sometimes that resistance can take on a very seemingly innocuous form. We call it procrastination. "Oh, I'm going to do it, but I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I finish school. I'll do it when this or that or the other." That's resistance. And that knot of resistance, that would not, can bind the hands of God's blessing for our life. And then there's the knot of prayerlessness. They remembered not. Over and over again, I marvel as I read through the scripture and read the account of Israel, how over and over again, God did miraculous, wonderful, powerful things in their life. And the next difficulty that comes up, they're back into the realm of doubt. They're back into the realm of, "We've got to work it out. We've got to do it somehow." The knot of prayerlessness. They remembered not the good hand of God and how God will work and does work as we allow him. You know, it's interesting, as you think about it, the knot of sin and the knot of unbelief and the knot of resistance will lead to that knot of prayerlessness. Remembering not. They prayed not. Pastor was giving his announcements and preparing to take the offering when the power went out in the auditorium. I've had that happen to me a few times when I was pastoring and when I've been preaching revival meetings. All of a sudden the power goes out. Well, that happened this Sunday morning. The pastor had spoken his words about the offering and had the people bow their heads to pray. And the organist was very nervous, wondering how in the world she was going to be able to play the offertory. And as the pastor's praying, one of the ushers came up and slipped her a note. And the note said, "After the prayer, there will be power." You know, it's the power of prayer that brings the power of God's blessing to our life. And yet how often that knot of prayerlessness, we remember not, we pray not, and it binds the hand of God's blessing. The Lord Jesus said in that 11th verse of Matthew 7, "That which we ask." In fact, James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, in James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "You have not because you ask not." And then he goes on in verse 3 to say, "And sometimes you may ask, but you don't receive because you pray amiss, that you might consume it on your own lusts." The knot of prayerlessness can be either that we just don't bother to pray at all, or we do pray some sort of rather shallow, frothy prayer, but it's for a selfish motive, a selfish reason. And that knot of prayerlessness binds the hands of God's blessing to our life. There are other knots, but one other that I'd call our attention that's not mentioned or referred to in this psalm, but certainly is in the New Testament, and that's the knot of improper family relationships. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, talking about the proper relationship between husband and wife, and children and parents, and parents and children, in chapter 6, And verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Over in 1 Peter and chapter 3, Peter is talking about the relationship of husbands and wives, and talking about wives honoring their husbands. And likewise, then husbands in verse 7, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. And he goes on to say in the latter part of that verse, that your prayers be not hindered. Sometimes we forget that improper family relationships can bind the hand of God's blessing. Dishonoring our parents, not having the proper honor towards our spouse. An improper family relationship can bind the hands of God's blessing. And this minister of music in Psalm 78, as he brings the psalm to a conclusion, as he's talked about the conditions, the knots that bind the hand of God's blessing, then addresses the consequences of limiting God. The consequences of limiting God. In verse 57, they turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. What an interesting illustration. A deceitful bow. Speaking here, illustrating the failure as an instrument of God. If we bind the hand of God's blessing and power in our life, we're going to experience failure as an instrument of God. That deceitful bow, outwardly it looks so fine. It looks like it's a ready weapon. It looks like it's ready to be taken out hunting and bring down that which will feed the family. But then as the archer takes that bow in his hand, puts the arrow, pulls the string back, the bow breaks and the arrow falls helplessly at the feet of the archer. And oh, we may look fine on the outside, look like we are a fit vessel, look like we would be an effective servant for God. But if we don't have the power of God, if we've bound the hands of God's blessing and of God's power in our life, it's going to result in failure as an instrument of God. And then he goes on in verse 60, says, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, in verse 67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. Not only failure as an instrument of God, but as we've already suggested, the forfeiture of the blessing of God. Oh, the sad consequences of binding the hands of God's blessing. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul. And you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Oh, William Barclay once said, men spend the greater part of their lives putting limitations on the power of God. Are you limiting God's power this morning by sin? Or by unbelief, or by resistance, or by prayerlessness, or by some improper family relationship? Are you limiting? If you are, what limits are you putting on God? But the Lord said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God is unlimited. He wants to bless His people. But oh, There are the knots that bind the hands of God's blessing. May we search our own life this morning to see if we're binding God's power and blessing in our life. And before we experience perhaps some of the sad consequences of limiting God, let Him have His way with us. Let's pray. Father, how we thank Thee that Thou art a loving Father, that Thou art not sitting in heaven trying to figure out how to make Thy people miserable, how to make their life ineffective, useless. But Lord, Thou art eager to work in us. Thou art eager to work through us. Thou art eager to pour out Thy blessing upon us. May we be conscious daily of those knots that can bind the hand of God's blessing and see that those knots are not in our life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.